Thank you all for leading worship. Man, so sweet. Man, it's been a good weekend, has it not? I mean, from the fellowship to the food to the worship, I don't need it. Thank you. Where'd I leave off? The food, the worship, the fellowship, the teaching, the cornhole. All, man, what an incredible weekend. Where's Ed at?
Behind the scenes.
Right? Behind the scenes doing this stuff. Man, Ed, thank you for your faithfulness. Thought that was bad. Come here.
Man, thank y'all for being here, man. This is my heart, man.
Come here. I heard the Lord say, Ed, because you have stepped up, now, soar.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Bless you.
Yeah, man, thank you. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate y'all.
Man. Man, it's been a great weekend. Thank you to Josh, who opened us up, and Aaron, and Aaron, who spoke last night, and then, of course, Reese yesterday. Hey, who was here last year? Show of hands. Okay. Hey, did anybody else realize that both last year and this year, Aaron worked balls into his sermon? Anybody else notice that? Right? I remember. Both last year and this year. Ed, bring him back next year and see if he can do it again. Make it 3 years in a row. Aaron's like, no problem. I got it. Hey, I'm Bo Burnham. I am from Mississippi. I say we because we got a few of our men here as well. And we are part of the Vineyard Jackson church down there. A little bit about me. You might notice that there's nothing lit up over there. I like to make it easy on the tech guys. Well done. Y'all had a great weekend. Go ahead and take off. Like your job's over, right? The presentation, like, I am not a tech guy. Like, I do good to be able to turn something on. But here's one thing, that I'd say is, because if you were here last year, you might remember my testimony. I was an electrician working in a steel mill in a broken marriage where one night I fell to my knees. I was actually in the shower, so I was naked and fully exposed. And I said, God, all I do is make a mess of things. I need you. And I had a power encounter with God right there. There was, in our broken marriage, there was lying, there was cheating, there was adultery, there was all kinds of, and I stand here today saying that the Lord is able to restore, the Lord is able to redeem, and there is nothing impossible with our God. I didn't go to seminary, but seminary is good, but I'm just saying that wasn't the path that the Lord led me on. And so Acts 4, John and Peter are standing before the council. And as they were standing before the council, it says that they were, the council realized that they were uneducated, untrained men, but men who had been with Jesus. But men who had been with Jesus. And of course, even before that, it talked about how Peter was empowered, filled with Holy Spirit. And that passage really indicates that Peter was filled in that moment. So a different feeling than Acts 2. Acts 4, he's filled again. If you look throughout the book of Acts, you'll see that there should be a constant filling of Holy Spirit. The church should be marked with infillings of Holy Spirit and joy. That's what should mark the church. So I want to start off. That's why we are Vineyard, right? And that's why we are constantly saying, come Holy Spirit. Because we constantly want to be filled again and again and again and again. So I'm going to teach you a couple of things today, but I want to equip you and give you some stuff to walk out of here with. I'm going to start off with just the first part of a prayer. But we're going to do it together, and I'm going to give you some more later, okay? But if you would, assume the position. Everybody, come on. Vineyard position. Assume the position. Holy Spirit is a gift. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. So if your good, good Father has something to give you, then it's your role to receive it. Spirit, teach me, lead me, sanctify me, empower me. Now, as I speak, I want you to stay in that place right there, that place of receiving. Because it's not about knowledge transfer. I don't care what you know if you don't walk it out. It's not about knowledge transfer. I don't care what your language you speak if it doesn't manifest in your life, in your marriage, in your household. So stay right there where you are, in that place of receiving. I'm going to start with the passage that we had for that was the theme of the conference this weekend in Ezekiel 22. And in Ezekiel 22, am I good right here, Ed? All right. I appreciate you. All right. So in Ezekiel 22, it talked about, and I'm going to start in verse 28. Ezekiel 22, verse 28. Her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and dividing lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Verse 30. I have searched for a man among them who would build a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Now, what I want to focus on right here, right now, is not so much verse 30, but in 29. And it says, the people of the land, the people of the land, the people of the Lord, the Jewish people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Lord's people, the people of the Lord, verse 29, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and the needy and have oppressed the sojourner without justice. Does anybody see a problem with that? Why did God visit his people in Egypt? Go back to Exodus. Why did the Lord visit the people in Egypt? Why did he come? No. He came because of their sin, right? Because we're sinners. We're just a whole bunch of wretched sinners. And he came because of their sins, right? Huh. God showed up because there was an oppressed people. And he came to set an oppressed people free. A part of our problem, men, is because we have not had the gospel preached to us. Jesus said for us to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. What we have been preaching is the gospel of John the Baptist. Repent of sins and be water baptized. That's the gospel of John the Baptist, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom. How can we sum up the gospel of the kingdom? Well, first off, we got to sum up, the easiest way to sum up the gospel of the kingdom is like this. Three words. Jesus is Lord. That's how you sum up the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is Lord. Now that phrase is going to be massive, and I'm going to show you more as we go deeper into this. But we have to get this, men. We have to get this. Jesus is Lord. Now, if you want to go further into the gospel, then it is what oppresses you? Because Jesus is Lord over it. What oppresses you? Depression, anxiety, sin. Yes, sin can oppress you. Poverty. I mean, think about all the sicknesses, the demonic. You can be tormented. You, an orphan spirit. What oppresses you? Because Jesus has come to set an oppressed people free. Is this not how Peter sums up Jesus' ministry to Cornelius and his family and friends in Acts 10? He sums up the whole ministry of Jesus like this, that Jesus, empowered by God, that he came to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. So the issue that the Lord is taking with his people in Ezekiel 22 is because they forgot. They forgot that they were an oppressed people, and they forgot that the Lord came to set an oppressed people free, and they themselves were now doing what the Egyptians did. And the Lord's not okay with that. You were oppressed. You were in bondage. You were in slavery. You cried out to me, and I heard your cries, and I came. I came to set an oppressed people free, and now you're doing the exact same thing. So the gospel of the kingdom is Jesus is Lord, and the fact that he has come to set an oppressed people free. But we've made it, like Josh was saying, we've made the gospel all about us. In our culture, how do we share the gospel? You're a sinner, and your sin separates you from God, and there's nothing you can do about it. God knows this, so he sends his son, and his son dies for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you believe in him, you'll have forgiveness of sins and one day eternal life. Do you know that that gospel message is all about us? You are a sinner, and you, and you, and you, and you. Let me go ahead and tell you, the gospel is not about you. Not only did Jesus save you from sin, not only did he does he free you from whatever he oppresses you, here's another kicker. The gospel saves you from you. The gospel saves you from you. And also within that message, did you notice that I left Jesus dead? Men, what is a dead man going to do for us? What can a dead man do for us? It is at the cross that we receive forgiveness of sins. It was at the cross where Jesus literally took on the power of sin. Don't think about sins like, oh, I told a little white lie, and oh, or even I looked at porn, or oh, I cheated on my wife. Those are big sins, right? No, think of sin as a person, as an evil villain. Think of sin as a power. Jesus went to war against the power of sin and defeated it. That's why we can say Jesus is Lord, because he defeated the evil power of sin. He conquered it. Now listen to me, man. Sin isn't even the problem. Jesus already dealt with it. Sin isn't even the problem. But we've made it all about us, and we have become sin conscious. Instead of being sin conscious, we need to become son conscious. And the importance of not only did Jesus conquer sin, but he rose from the grave. And in rising from the grave, he conquered death. And it is at the cross that we get forgiveness of sins, but it's in his resurrection that we get victory over sin. So instead of trying to fight for it and keep trying and trying harder, I'm a man, I'm strong, I can do this. Even if I fall down, I'll get back up because I'm a man and I can do this. Stop trying. Just stop. Stop trying. Because you never will be able to. Work out your fear and work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Right? Many of us will quote that. The verse doesn't end there. It then says, but it is God who is at work within you to will and to do. So you stop and you let him. So we got to get what the fullness of the gospel is, the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus has come, just as he promised, to set and oppress people free. So what oppresses you, men? What oppresses you? What oppresses your marriage? What oppresses your family? What oppresses you? Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is a conquering king that comes to set and oppress people free. All right. That's the introduction. All right. Let me test your Bible knowledge just a little bit. All right. I'm going to start off with an easy one. All right. Genesis 1:1. What is it? All right. Yep. Wow. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right. All right. All right. John 3:16. There you go. All right. All right. All right. All right. Let me get a little bit harder. Jeremiah 29:11. Man, y'all are good. Y'all, here, I'll give y'all the mic. Y'all come on up here. All right. So y'all are good. So far, 3 for 3. All right. Yeah, hang on now. Joshua 24:15. Anybody? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right, well, that's a fraction of the verse. But that's the only part of the verse we know. Anybody? He gets 100. Let's go Joshua 24 real quick. We got to get the context of this. Joshua 24. In Joshua 24:15, many of us quote it. Many of us have the plaque in our house. It's on our coffee cups. It's on our plates. Many of us know a part of the verse, but I want us to get the context of all of the verse. Okay, Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, maybe I'm going to back up to 14 just so we can get more of the context. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which is beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua has submitted to the lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus is Lord. Joshua submitted to the lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he was calling forth for all the people to submit to the lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The foundation of all things that we build on has got to be the lordship of Jesus. We might say Jesus is Lord, but have you submitted all that you are and all that you have to the lordship of Jesus? To say yes to Jesus is to submit to his lordship. And then the process of discipleship is then submitting all that you are and all that you have to the lordship of Jesus. That is your past, your present, your future. That is your marriage, your alone time. That's your calendar, your bank account. All that you are and all that you have to the lordship of Jesus. Now, if you notice in the context of that passage, it is you choose who you will serve today. These little g gods are the Lord. The little g gods are the Lord. Now, you might say, oh, well, it says in James, you say that there is one God. You do well, but even the demons believe and shudder. Yeah, we've actually, in our context, we just, if we call it God, we think we're talking about the same thing. But my question is, which God? Which God are you talking about? That's why I say the name of Jesus, so people will know which God I'm talking about. Who was James written to? Test your Bible now. Let me come over here. To the 12 tribes of Israel who's dispersed abroad. Do you know that all the Bible is written for you, but not all the Bible is written to you? That's important to know as we study. You can learn from anything in here, but it's not all written to you. Okay? So James is written to the 12 tribes of Israel dispersed abroad. I believe that James was written after the scattering of the Jewish people in Acts 8. Okay, so the Christian church has been scattered because of the Stephen being murdered, right? The church is being scattered. But I believe that it was also written after that time, but before Acts 10, Cornelius and his family. Because it's only addressed to the Israelites. I mean, the Jewish people, you know, people of faith, right? And so it's only addressed to them. So I believe that it was during that time that it was written. Okay, so let me test a little more of your knowledge. What did Jewish people say every single day, multiple times? The Shema. James. Get this. James, you say that God is one. And you do well. But even the demons believe and shudder. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, hear. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, actually, it would be translated better as only. The Lord our God is only. Did we not just sing during the worship set? I don't know the exact lyrics, but I worship Jesus only. Only. Now go read the context, the rest of that Deuteronomy passage, and it talks about serving God or serving other gods. When James wrote, "You say that the Lord is one," he is writing to a people that would know what he's talking about the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. And the context of that passage is God versus gods. And he is saying, we are serving the Lord and the Lord only. Jesus is Lord, and we are to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, on Friday night, Josh brought up 1 Samuel 8, when the people of Israel, they said to Samuel, they said, hey, we want a king to be over us just like all the other nations. We want to be just like all the other nations. Give us a king. And Samuel was pissed. He was livid. And he went to the Lord. And let's see what the Lord says about it. 1 Samuel 8. All right, 1 Samuel 8, verse 6. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that I say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me for being king over them. Like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day. In fact, they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice, however, and you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedures of the king who will rule, who reign over them. From whom will you serve? If you serve the Lord, serve the Lord. Whom will you serve? Introduction number two. Now we're going to go to Daniel. All right. So think about all this setting, okay? Think about all this setting and think about Daniel, okay? So first off, I am not a fan of it being called an Old Testament and New Testament, because a lot of times we'll think, well, the old is old and I don't need to deal with the old. It's one story. It's God's story, and it all matters. And if you want to understand kingdom theology, like we talk about in the Vineyard, you need to see the kingdom thread that is from Genesis to Revelation. The kingdom thread. Kingdom didn't just become a thing when Jesus showed up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The kingdom thread is throughout Scripture. Okay, so we got to understand this is God's story and it all matters. All right, so God shows up in Egypt because his people are oppressed. He hears their cries. He comes. He delivers them. He sets them free. He brings them into a promised land. He gives them judges to rule over them. And there is the constant cycle of I'll serve the Lord. No, I won't serve the Lord. In bondage, crying out to the Lord showing up. I will serve the Lord. Never mind, I won't serve the Lord. In bondage, crying out, God showing up. And on and on and on and on. Anybody in here feel like they're on that cycle? The kingdom message, gentlemen. The Lordship of Jesus, gentlemen. They reject the Lord, 1 Samuel 8 that I just referenced. They reject the Lord and they have kings. The Lord said, if you do this, you will serve other gods. And then the whole thing was you serve other gods and you'll be led into exile, right? So the time of the kings, you have a couple of good kings, but mostly they were wicked, evil kings. And if you read it, constantly said, and when the next king came, and it said, and he was wicked just like his father, but he was even more wicked. He was wicked just like his father, but even more wicked. He was wicked just like his father, but he was even more wicked. And then all of a sudden you'll have like a good one. And he loved the Lord and served the Lord just like his father, David. All right. And so the people of Israel, because of their wickedness, they were led into exile. Right. And that's the setting with Daniel in the book of Daniel. They're led into exile. But Daniel, if you read Daniel, Daniel has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Daniel has submitted to the Lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Daniel has submitted all that he is and all that he has to the Lordship of the Lord. And so whenever the king's food was offered to him, whenever the king's way, the king Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, whenever the king of Babylon was offered to him in his ways, he rejected it. And he says, no, for I have bowed my knee and I have confessed with my mouth, the Lord is Lord. And my knee will not bow to another, and my tongue will not confess to another. All that I am and all I have has submitted to the Lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And it wasn't just Daniel, but he had three friends also. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we're going to go to Daniel 3. And we're going to see what Daniel's friends do in Daniel 3. Y'all tracking with me so far? Y'all good? Hey, Aaron, when are you going to come up and do your positive, encouraging K-Love message? Daniel 3, we know the story, right? We know the story. But in Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar, he sets up, you know, this god. And whenever the music plays, all the different music, whenever the music plays, people were supposed to bow a knee and worship, right? And a decree went out that if you don't, you can get burned alive. Right? Sound that like, wow. Hey, and first off, you know, Josh referenced it the other night. Now, I just want to say it also is like, if you want to see, because a lot of us will talk about the wickedness of our day and even reference that we're in Babylon. Okay, all right, yeah. Read Daniel, though, and see how it's possible to walk it out. See, we talk about the doom and gloom, and we're just going to live in the doom and gloom. No, it's possible to walk it out. Okay? All right? So, but in Daniel 3, that's the setting. All right? So, verse 8, for this reason, they started playing all the music, and it said, whoever does not fall down and worship, they should be cast in the midst of the furnace and blazing fire. And then there were certain Jews that were pointing, and that was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. These men, O king, and this is where they're getting told on. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They did not serve your gods and worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave order to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men be brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you will not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment that you hear the sound of the horn and all the different instruments, fall down and worship the image that I have made. Very well. But if you do not, you will immediately be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But not, now, if not, now this is like, I think we really confuse this passage, because in the translation, now there's some italicized words, but it says, even if he does not, but the actual language, the italicized words aren't there. So it's really, but if not. Okay, but here's the thing. We kind of pose it as, well, if God isn't in the mood to deliver me out of the fire, well, then that's his choice. That's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying. They're simply saying, we've bowed the knee to our God and our God only. And there is absolutely nothing that you can do that will change our mind. That's what they're saying. They're not like, well, we're not really sure what kind of mood our God is in today. That's not what they're saying, okay? But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. We will not. So what happens? They throw them He heats the furnace up 7 times hotter, and he throws them in the furnace. The furnace is so hot that the guards that threw them in died. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're sitting around, and they're like, hey, yo, King, like, did you not throw 3 people in the furnace? And he was like, yeah, I threw 3. And it was like, well, then why do I see 4? And the 4th is an appearance of a god. And then the king comes close and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out here. They were walking around in the midst of the blazing fire. And when they come out, their clothes had not been burnt. They don't even have the smell of smoke on them. Come on. How did they do it? How did they do it? First, they have submitted to the lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and they would not be swayed. They would not. And then our God is an consuming fire. And the consuming fire engulfed them in such a way that no man fire could touch them. Come on. Come on. We talked about being baptized, being completely submersed. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being completely submersed in the fire? That fire couldn't touch them. In Exodus 24:17, it says, now the glory of the Lord appeared as fire to the Israelites. The glory of the Lord appeared as fire to the Israelites. Our God is an all-consuming fire. His glory appeared as fire to the Israelites. The all-consuming fire surrounded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The glory of the Lord surrounded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why? Because they had submitted to the lordship of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And they would not be swayed. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, starting in 14b. Who among us can live with the consuming fire? Who among us can live with continual burning? Wow, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did you write this or did Isaiah? Who can live in the continual burning? Who can live in the consuming fire? 15, he who walks righteously and speaks with sincerity. He who rejects unjust gain and shakes his hand so that they hold no bribe. He who stops the ears from hearing about bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil. He will dwell on the heights. His refuge will be an impregnable rock. I had to look that up, see what that means. Do you know what impregnable means? Impossible to penetrate. Impossible. That is our God. Impossible to penetrate. His bread will be given to him and his water will be sure. Who can live in the continual burnings but the righteous ones? Who can live in the continual burning but the righteous ones? Now you might be thinking, oh, brother, I'm trying so hard to be righteous. Man, I'm trying. Some days I get it, and some days I fall flat on my face. And it seems like I fall flat on my face more than I get it. But I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. Stop trying. Stop trying and just be. Stop trying and just be. Hebrews 3 and 4 talks about as long as today is still called today, meaning one day there won't be a tomorrow, but guess what, men? There's still today is still called today. So as long as today is still called today, do not harden your hearts, but hear the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is saying, enter my rest. Enter my rest. When we work, the Lord rests. But when we rest, the Lord works. Whose work do you think is better? Come on. For it is the Lord who is at work within you to will and to do. Your place is not to try to conjure it up and make it happen in your strength, your efforts, your ability. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Now this life that I live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Stop relying on your strength, your wisdom, your efforts, your ability, and start relying on his strength, his effort, his wisdom, his ability, because Christ, who is your life, and he is faithful and true. And he who starts a good work will see it through to completion. And when you call on the name of the Lord, and when you call on the name of the Lord, when your knee bows to the Lordship of Jesus and your tongue confesses him as Lord, Holy Spirit regenerates you. And what does it say? What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5? For all those that are in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, and behold, new has come. What does it say after that? He, the Father, made him, Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become his righteousness. Isaiah 33, who can live in the continual burnings but the righteous ones? If you are in Christ, you are righteous. I don't feel very righteous. I know what I just did. I know what I just said. I know. I don't care what you feel. The Lord says you're righteous. Don't take it up with me. Take it up with him. If you want to argue with him, go ahead. But the Lord says, you are righteous. And we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. See, the gospel is not about you. It's about him. And the gospel is summed up in Jesus is Lord. However, we get some amazing benefits from it. And a part of your amazing benefits is we get a new identity. And we're not defined by the good or the bad that we've done. We're defined by him. Stop trying to get your own righteousness and just receive the righteousness of Christ. Did Jesus not say, your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees? What was the Pharisees doing? Looking good, doing good works. They trusted in themselves. And your righteousness must surpass them. Jesus said, do what they do. Right? Just, you know, they're doing a lot of the right things, but it goes to heart motive. So are you trusting in you to get more righteous? Are you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus in receiving His righteousness? That's a big difference, man. That's a massive difference, man. I have no idea what time it is, Ed. I'm sorry. I'm all. All right. We okay? All right. Well, in that case. Introduction part three. If we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, how is it possible to get any more righteous? This is why I amen so loud last night when Aaron said, if you spent 2 hours in a room confessing, repenting, confessing, what would you do? Preach the gospel to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that this is not who I am. Thank you for who you say that I am. You preach the gospel to yourself. You submit to the Lordship of Jesus, and you preach the gospel to yourself. That says Holy Spirit is convicting sinners of sin. That's one of the roles of Holy Spirit in our world today, is to convict sinners of sin. For all those that are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, new has come. You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His beloved. You are new. You were a sinner. Now you're a saint. You're a saint. You were a child of darkness. Now you're a child of light. You were a son of the disobedient. Now you're a son of the Most High God. You were the tail. Now you're the head. You were under curse. Now you're under blessing. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But you have a new identity in Christ. And that identity is not earned. That identity is received. The problem isn't with God. We have a receiving problem. Now also, in Psalms 97, verse 3. We're going to move into ministry with this. In Psalms 97, verse 3, it says that His glory fire comes out forth from Him and consumes His foes. Now the righteous ones are able to walk continually in the continual burning. The righteous ones are able to walk in the continual burning. And our God is an all-consuming fire. And His glory fire comes out from Him and consume His foes. Let me just tell you right now, men. You are not a foe of the Lord. If you are, you just need to get born again. Right? Right? While we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. We were all once enemies of God. But Jesus took His wrath. Jesus took His punishment. And if we are in Christ, just as when Adam took and ate of the fruit, we took and ate of the fruit. When Adam died, we died. Same thing. If you're in Christ, this is 1 Corinthians 15. For those that are in Adam die, but those that are in Christ are alive. So those that are in Christ, when Christ was arrested, you were arrested. When Christ was punished, you were punished. When Christ was crucified, you were crucified. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ raised, you raised. When Christ ascended, you ascended. Ephesians chapter 2, you are raised and seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Whatever happened to Jesus happened to you. So God isn't looking to punish you. He already punished you in Christ. So what are his foes that can be consumed from us? If his glory fire goes out forth from him and consumes his foes, anxiety is a foe to the Lord. Depression is a foe to the Lord. Addictions is a foe to the Lord. Us trusting in ourselves and our wisdom, our ability, like all these different things are a foe to the Lord. We are to submit to the Lordship of Jesus. So step up, men. So step up, men. My wife sent me this just the other day. I might could have given the tech people something to do. Let y'all see it. Hang on. I got to learn how to work this thing. I'm telling you, it's good. Y'all hang with me. It's good. It's going to be worth it. There's more than one way to skin a cat. I'll just scroll up until I find it. Actually, that might be a minute. Ah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. So there's a graph. I know it's not up there. You might not be able to see it, but there's a graph. I'm gonna tell you what it is. All right, you see the little part over here? This is children. When children come to the Lord, it then affects 3.5% of the families that will come to the Lord also. 3.5, pretty small percentage. When a mother comes to the Lord, then 17% of families will be affected and follow the Lord. But when fathers submit to the Lordship of Jesus, all that they are and all that they have to the Lordship of Jesus, 93% of families will follow their fathers following Jesus. 93%. I have experienced that. And now, my family has a new generational tree. Men, step up. Stop submitting to other gods. Stop submitting and serving other things. And today, choose whom you will serve and serve the Lord. How did Moses say it in the book of Numbers? Today I lay before you a blessing and a curse. I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Men, today I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Submit all that you are and all that you have to the Lordship of Jesus. Submit your past, your present, and your future to the Lordship of Jesus. Submit your private life to the Lordship of Jesus. Submit your marriage to the Lordship of Jesus. Submit your families to the Lordship of Jesus. Submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. So who will step up? Look, I just see a picture of this. You can call it weird if you want. I just call it obedience. I see a picture of who's ever willing to submit to the Lordship of Jesus coming up here and bowing their knee to the Lord. I see a picture of whoever is willing to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, to get their tails up here and submit, bow a knee to the Lordship of Jesus. Now listen to me, man. You've got to choose this posture every single day. Paul says, I die daily. Jesus says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. You have to choose this posture day by day, and not only day by day, but hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. You can get it so right in 1 second and get it so wrong the very next. But guess what? That doesn't define you. Who defines you is Jesus. You are defined by Jesus, and you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So step up, men. Step up and play the man. Step up and be the leaders of your households. Lead your family. Be able to say to your family, follow me as I follow Christ. So submit all that you are and all that you have to the Lordship of Jesus. I'm going to be quiet for just a moment, and I'm going to let the Lord minister to you. The Lord, send your ministering spirits and minister to your sons. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And may your glory fire consume all the lies from us that are your foes. Come, Holy Spirit, and may your glory fire consume the addictions. May your glory fire expose and tear down all strongholds that have been built up over the knowledge of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Come in your power. Come, Holy Spirit, and set an oppressed people free. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus and cry out to Him. break off shame off of you. I break self-loathing off of you. I break passivity off of us. I break guilt off of us. I break addictions off. I break depression off. I break anxiety off. You are lies of the evil one. You have been exposed and I command it to be gone. When the accuser comes to tell you the list of accusations he has against you, you remind him that Jesus has nailed it to the cross. You are a son, a child of light. You are his righteousness. You are more than a conqueror. And if he didn't withhold his son from you, how would he withhold any good thing? You have everything you need for life and godliness. You lack nothing. So receive, 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 receive his glory fire. Receive, receive his love. Receive his mercy. Receive his grace. Receive his goodness. Receive every good and perfect gift. Comes from our Father of lights, from the Father above. So receive, 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 and keep on receiving. And what you freely receive, you freely give. Look, man, I'm not interested in you just stepping up today. I'm not interested in you just stepping up tomorrow. I'm interested in you stepping up a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. Step up, men. Step up. Fan that spark into a flame within you. Burn for him. Burn for him. Burn for him. You are his righteous ones. So live in the continual burning. More, Lord, more. More, Lord, more. Come on. Come on. Come on. Bless it, Lord. Bless it, Lord. More, Lord, more. Come on. Come on. Yes. Burn. Burn from him. Burn for him. Come on. I want to equip you with a prayer, if you will. I told you I'd give you more to say in a little bit. I want to equip you with that prayer for him, if you want. And you say this daily. And listen to how much of what we said today is in this. If you need to stand up, you can stand up. But if you want to keep bowing the knee, keep bowing the knee. Man, I bless what the Lord's doing in you, brother. I bless what he's doing. Come on. Come on. Yeah, there you go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Come on. The yoke of that slavery be gone right now. The yoke of that slavery be gone right now. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Come on. Come on. Yeah, burn it all up. Burn it all up, Lord. Burn it all up. Yeah. Come on. Repeat after me, gentlemen. Behold, the kingdom of God is here. And Jesus is Lord. The Lord is a warrior. And the Lord is his name. I am a warrior. In his army. And I worship and serve King Jesus only. Come, Holy Spirit, teach me, lead me, sanctify me, and empower me to be a bold witness for you. To boldly speak your word and your truth in love. While you stretch forth your hand in many signs and wonders and healings. All for your name's sake. All for your glory. One more time, just so it sinks in. Behold, the kingdom of God is here. And Jesus is Lord. The Lord is a warrior. And the Lord is his name. I am a warrior in his army. And I worship and serve King Jesus only. Come, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Lead me. Sanctify me. And empower me to be a bold witness for you. To speak your word in your truth and love. While you stretch forth your hand in many signs and wonders and healings. All for your name's sake. All for your glory. Amen. Pray the prayer of Habakkuk. Lord, we've heard of your signs. We've heard of your power. We've heard of your wonders. Lord, what you've done before, come and do again. Come and do again. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So men, step up. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled. I'm gonna bless you, and me and I encourage you to learn this blessing from number 6. Learn this blessing, and as a priest of your home, say this blessing. I do this blessing over my children every single day. Because why? Because it says in the Word, the Lord himself says, when you do this, it will invoke me to bless you. My goodness, we don't know how to use the Word of God. We have everything we need. We got to learn how to use it. Take him at his word. He is faithful. Learn this blessing. And bless your family with it. And when you do, it will invoke the Lord to bless you. Receive. Your job is to receive. Receive. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Receive, receive, receive. Shalom peace is holistic for all that you are and all that you have. The salvation of the Lord is holistic for all that you are and all that you have. The wholeness of the Lord. All that you are and all that you have. Peace. just want to encourage you, keep pressing in. Press in. Press in. The Lord is working on many. Just stay open. Stay open. Stay receiving. Get in the picture of the bleeding woman in Mark 5. She didn't let anything keep her from Jesus to receiving what she needed. Don't let anything keep you from receiving, getting to Jesus and receiving. Press in, men. Press in. Do whatever it takes. Get to Jesus. Touch the hem of his clothes and be completely healed. Press in. Press in and receive. Lord, we bless what you're doing. Hey, I'm going to put the mic down. Ed, if you have anything you want to do, but if you can, stay right where you are and just continue to receive. I'd ask if anybody, like if you're at a place of receiving, receive. Like I'll pay your late fee if I have to. Like, okay, like seriously, receive from the Lord. But if you feel like you're in a place that you can go and minister and pray and encourage for your brothers, do that as well. But Ed.
Guys, seriously, if you are receiving from the Lord right now, don't move. We can work around you for real. If you need to go back to your room and get your things, do that. They're expecting us out of those rooms at 11. So if you haven't got your things, you want to do that. But be free to minister to one another. Receive from the Lord. Do your thing, man. And thank y'all again for being here. Safe travels. Getting home. Love y'all.